Welcome back to the Wizards of Econ podcast. My name is Carlos Alvarez. I'll be your host for the show. This is episode number 366. I am recording it on March 29th and will be released on April 1st. So you have some indication as to when this was recorded as you are listening to this. This topic is really inspired by a lot of the community has really been growing rapidly. And as it is, we see new people joining the group, newer sellers, and the conversation, you know, often turns in that case to, you know, the newer sellers asking the established sellers, like, what's your secret to having succeeded? And then in turn also asking, well, what are you seeing is that like the reason why most people fail or maybe don't come back to the group or whatnot? So I thought that was a great topic to hit on. And when I started fleshing it out of my head, I realized for me, there's three major areas. Whereas the biggest thing holding back most new Amazon sellers, and I would hazard to say that this also applies to Shopify or any other site or e-commerce business that you have. The first bucket of a area, if you will, that I feel like holds back most sellers is not joining or being part of a community. And I totally get it. You know, I'm Mr. Community. I love building community. I think it's one of the most powerful things in the world that you could do for your business. And when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. However, I really believe this. And not joining a community, let me say this another way. Most of the very successful established brands that I know, or online sellers, you don't have to have your own brand, you could be reselling other products, but most of the successful businesses that I know online are part of a community. And that community could take a lot of different forms: online, a Telegram community, a meetup community, like whatever the case may be, a group chat, like your group community. But it should hit on certain elements. And the main element in that is some degree of accountability. And I feel like this is where Facebook groups really fall short. And it was why I did not want to go all in on a Facebook group community versus the other extreme, which is extraordinarily difficult to do, take my word for this, which is an in-person meetup community and all the logistics and personalities that get involved with that. You know, on a Facebook group, you don't like what somebody says, you mute them, you boot them. In an in-person community, you gotta be human about it. You gotta like get to know the person and you gotta work things out. So regardless of what type of community you're thinking of joining, by the way, I highly recommend you join our Wizards of Ecom community. Regardless of which one you do join, there should be a degree of accountability. Don't let the only selling point of this community be how big it is, which is almost a regret of mine at this point as to like how much I got behind that vanity metric that we are the largest Amazon seller meetup community in the world, because it sort of became part of our identity as being the largest. And in this case, size ain't everything. You don't want that to be the number one selling point of the community you're joining. I would much rather see you part of a 2 or 3 person community. And that is a community, a 2 or 3 person community that has a high level of accountability to it than some massive thing where you don't even know everybody's name. I also highly recommend you join an in-person community, which has a built-in accountability to it. But an in-person, nothing beats in-person. We're human. Our job has us, you know, in our laptop. It's a very lonely thing in e-commerce. And especially when you're starting and you don't have a team around you all the time, you know, you're in your own little bubble. So fanning the flames on that part of you that is human, and you listening to this, that is you, being part of an in-person community is an extraordinarily powerful thing that you can do in your business. Again, size is not everything. I read a book, probably the best book I've ever read when it comes to community call, by Priya Parker. And go figure, here while I'm recording, I'm forgetting the name of the book. But if you look up Priya Parker, she has a book on community that is just extraordinarily powerful. I'm going to try to pull it up here while we're talking, because it's such a such a powerful book. I highly recommend. I recommend The Art of Gathering. There we go. So like, I recommend reading the book of The Art of Gathering. And in The Art of Gathering, she says a community is anytime two or more people get together. Like that is community. So find, it doesn't matter where you live, you're going to be able to find a community. It might not be as big as the one we have in Miami, but that doesn't matter. Get together regular, weekly. Monthly is a stretch, but try to get together weekly and build that relationship and hold each other accountable and just have a spot where you can talk shop and talk life. So accountability, a meetup group. And finally, even when you are connected with some people, some mode of staying in constant communication. We're just not in a world where you meet once a month and that's going to be effective. You need a way to chat between then. I mean, part of being accountable is not, there is an element to it where you show up at a weekly meeting and you're like, yeah, I did this and I didn't do that. Yeah. But the accountability is also like, hey, for you to hit this goal you want to do in a week, like if you want to write, you know, 100 pages in a week, well, at the end of day one, hey, how'd the writing go? You know, like if you wanted to put together this reporting system that would make it plug and play in the future, you'd be like, hey, what's the progress looking on that? Have you outlined it yet? Like that type of communication between your meetings is really important as part of a community. With ours, we use Telegram. There's a lot of them out there. If you wanted to be part of that one and just stay accountable and communicate with other sellers, go to wizardsofecom.com/chat. It's free. No upsells. No one's going to sell you anything in that community. But you can get an idea of what that is. And there's different Telegram groups that you can join that are people that have kind of raised their hand and said, yes, I want to talk about the Amazon influencer program or private label or wholesale or whatever the case may be. We have different rooms for each one of those topics. The next bucket that's really important, and last week I did a full episode on this, so I'm not going to take a great deal of time on it, is not hiring a virtual assistant or not building a team. If you're in a position where you could hire domestically or locally around you, fantastic. But not hiring a team. It truly takes a village to do this. One of the advantages of having virtual assistants, I feel, is, you know, the affordable expertise. I feel like nowadays, if you just hire local, not to say that the most experienced person doesn't just also happen to be your neighbor, but usually you're limited in that. You could take the smartest person you have around you, or you can get one of the sharpest people, maybe sharper than anybody you have in your state, when you're open to virtual or working with other people around the world. And the other component to this is, even though you guys are talking about work and growing your goals, it keeps you communicating and not just in this bubble by yourself, which again can be very lonely and can have you spiral as a solopreneur, which is what you are if you don't have a team. The other part of this bucket is, this is a painful one. And this is one that I think I'm going to have to say is the one that sinks and makes most sellers fail. I felt like Snape as I had to think that out, like spacing my words, like Professor Snape as I paced my words out like that. But I know a lot of sellers that have reached a certain level without being part of a community. And when they do find a community, they're like, oh my God, I would have done so much better and got here so much faster if I had been part of one, but they did nonetheless. And I also know some people that, you know, they can almost get to seven figures, or right around seven figures, without hiring any virtual assistants. It's becoming rarer nowadays, but you technically can. And again, once they're introduced to, like, once you get past the excuses they had as to why they didn't, and they usually see in a community other people doing it and they ask questions, they're like, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. Very similar to a lot of like YouTube content creators that I know right now that are crushing it. When you ask them, like, what is something you think most people fail on? And they're like, editing their own videos and creating their own thumbnails. We wish we would have hired somebody to do that in the beginning. So this area, though, next is the one that I feel like most people fail on. And that is not understanding all of the fees involved with your selling model. I feel like there's an unholy trinity, though, that are the main suspects when it comes to this. One of them has to do with your shipping. So way too often, I was very guilty of this in the beginning, and hopefully you're not doing it anywhere near as ignorant or as bad as I was when I started, but I would just see some product on Alibaba. I'm like, oh my God, $5. Oh, it's selling for $15 on Amazon. I'm going to make $10 profit. You know, not taking into account that there might be extra packaging costs that go into the product, that shipping this product to me is going to cost some money. Shipping this product to FBA or to the customer is going to cost some money. You know, all the other expenses that I won't even rattle down this list that hopefully you know, well, there's more expenses than just the cost of buying the actual product. So shockingly, one of those major costs that are going to come in is shipping. And way too many times I see somebody get a product. They've done the photo shoot for their product. They've done the video. They've reached out to influencers. Like, all this stuff is lined up and now it's time to ship this thing. And they're like, whoa, it's $5,000. Like, you know, I thought it was going to be a few $100. And next thing you know, they've got this product that you got their hopes and dreams tied up into. And that now, even if they can sell it fast, break even at best. So keep shipping in mind. The other one, and this one, I think all business owners, whether you're selling brick and mortar or whether you're selling online, struggle with. And if you don't, you have a huge advantage here. But I notice it especially with Amazon arbitrage sellers or wholesalers. And that's, I'm going to call it the cost of money. So you'll have someone that is willing to take 5% margin or 10% margin or something like that, but they are on a 30% APR credit card and they carry a lot of debt on their credit card and they don't understand interest rates. They don't understand, you know, I've been pretty vocal on the pod here that one of the closest times I ever came to bankruptcy in the business was an early stage loan, if you will, from a company called Cabbage. And I don't blame Cabbage. I took it. I should have known better. But look at the logic of what happened here. I couldn't get a bank to give me a loan. I couldn't get a credit card over like $3,000. And all of a sudden, since I'm doing like 5K a week in sales, which is, I know if you're just starting, seems like everything, but it will quickly seem like, yeah, that's a bad week. But because I was doing that, you know, Cabbage was willing to give me $32,000. So I was like, heck yeah, finally, someone who understands. So I got these $32,000, but I was going to be smart about it. I was going to be like, well, you know, I'm not just going to take this. I need to know what's my plan. What am I going to do with this money? And I thought about it and I was like, I'm going to go buy some humidors. I'm going to buy $30,000 in humidors from China and bring them over because I know how to sell these really good online. So I did. I reached out. Factory was glad to hear from me. I placed the order. Wire went out in like 3 days. Obviously, I accepted the money from Cabbage. They received it. It takes 60 days to manufacture, 30 days on the water. There's usually like another 30 days at least before this product checks into FBA. So 120 days. So here I am, super happy. And 30 days later, I owe Cabbage $6,700. I'm like, what? How am I going to pay $6,700? I haven't even started selling the product yet. 60 days later, I'm $13,000 back in paying it. $20,000 done in paying it. And you see what's going on here. Like, I put this money into product that I was hoping, because I looked at it and I was like, I get these things. I'm going to make a 70% profit margin and I can pay back Cabbage and have a comfortable profit. It's just not how that works. Like, so that ignorance surrounding how money works, how cash flow works, what's the cost of that capital is sinks a lot of businesses. A third one I'm going to add here to kind of like round out this holy unholy trinity, if you will, is advertising. And if you're reselling a product, this is going to be not as impactful for you, but for those of us that are selling our own brand, we need to put our brand out there. And if you're, you know, selling your product on Shopify, that looks like, you know, Meta ads. That That looks like Google Ads, Google Shopping. If you're on Amazon, that's Amazon Ads. And Amazon Ads CPC, or cost per click, or the investment you need to put into Amazon Ads to grow, is flying. It's going sky high. So if you don't know that, you're almost in the same boat as not knowing your shipping. You have a product, say you figured out your shipping and you get your landed cost, and you're like, okay, that landed cost minus what I'm selling it for is my profit. And it's like, no, what is your cost to acquire a customer? How much do you need to spend in ads to get a sale? And now you're looking at it, you're like, I have a $5 product. I didn't order a lot because I didn't want to go that deep. You're at $750 landed cost of this product after shipping and getting it to FBA. And then Amazon fees say is 30%. So that's $5. So you're at $12.50 gone. That leaves you $2.50. Say your cost per click is $1.25. And for every two clicks you get a sale, you're break even. You're not making any money. Best case scenario right there. You're not making any money on that product. So understanding the cost of your advertising to acquire a customer is super important. And there's a lot more to unpack on that one, but I think you'll get the point, especially for somebody just starting. And that's the unholy trinity. If I had to add a fourth one, and I think this is critical, and this is going to be the drum that I beat on through 2024, and that is putting a value on your time. You're doing all this work. I see this mostly with resellers. But you do all this work and you're running around looking for all these deals. And then you look at, when I sell it, this is my profit margin. But you didn't, you know, you put in your shipping cost, you put in your box cost and your box tape, and, you know, how much you paid so-and-so to, you know, label these things to send them out. But you assigned no cost as to the 30 hours you put in that week hunting this thing down, because you could have been doing anything else. So make sure to value your time. I don't care what number you assign to it, just assign it. I think at a minimum, you running your business should assign $100 an hour. Like, you're $100 an hour person. Like, and that's going to help you pick and choose what you should be doing and what you should be hiring out. I hope this episode really helps you. I hope that you can use this as a, oh, wait a minute, I'm not part of a community. I really should join a community. Or I'm doing this by myself. Let me get ahead of this, like Carlos pointed out, and let me look into hiring a virtual assistant for my company. And let me not let any of these fees secretly drain all of the profits and success from my business. So I'm going to pay extra close attention to the shipping, the cost of money, the advertising. I'm going to dissect all of my reports and see, what is that 17 cents? Where the heck is that going? And really make a list of what all my costs are, including returns, by the way, to see what my real profits are. Thank you so much for hanging out. I look forward to talking to you next week.